Daniel 5 and 27. And it says, then was the part of the hand sent from him, the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. So this is where the hand of God is writing on the wall of King Belshazzar's banquet room. And it says, this is the writing that was written, many, many, Tekel, Upharsin. And this is the interpretation of the thing. Many, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Amen. You may be seated. And so this is writing about Belshazzar. So Belshazzar was he was king at that time, and he was the son of the infamous, we could probably say, Nebuchadnezzar. And so we most of you have likely heard, read of King Nebuchadnezzar. And so this is his son that is now ruling. And the scripture tells us that Belshazzar was weighed in the balances. And so we're familiar with balances. You know, back in the day, if you went and bought a pound of flour, then they had something that weighed a pound, and they would put, you know, that stone that weighed a pound on one side of the balance, and they would pour the whatever you were buying into the other side of the balance. And that's how they knew and were able to measure out a certain weight. And so the scripture says that Belshazzar's life was weighed in the balance, and it was found wanting. And so I'm going to talk about balance tonight. Balance is really important in living for God, and in particular, four aspects to a balanced life. And what we'll find is that these different four aspects that I'm going to speak of may not seem super spiritual, but they are very important to our spirituality, and they all work together. And if we want to be well balanced, who wants to be unbalanced? You guys are listening already. That's good. Nobody wants to be unbalanced. We want to be well balanced and living for God. We want to be pleasing unto the Lord. And so balance, you know, is something that we just kind of take for granted. Once you learn how to walk, and when we're helping our little ones learn to walk, then it is a balanced thing. And somebody said that walking is just a controlled fall. And so, you know, we learn to move our feet to keep ourselves from falling. And so that now we're walking instead of crawling. And then perhaps it's a bicycle, you know, that's the next balance thing. And mom or dad puts you on that thing and shoves you off, and, you know, and you learn how to keep your balance, hopefully before you break an arm or smash your bicycle or whatever it might be. And I can remember, and likely you guys as well, trying to balance on top of a parking curb or on top of a rail or a downed tree log or something. And that was a thing, you know, when you're a kid, you're trying to keep your balance. And as we would do those things, our balance would improve. And what we also see in life from the physical standpoint is that as we get older, sometimes because we don't use all of the muscles that help us keep our balance, sometimes as we age, it can become a problem again. And it's an issue with elders. It's very easy for them to stumble and to fall. And so that's something they have to consider. And so what you see here on the platform, anybody know what that is? Can everybody see that? I had Brother Carlos bring it out. I kind of hit it behind the drums. Anybody know what that is? It's flat on one side, and it's actually inflated. So it's got air in it. The bottom side is very stable, and the top is got some air in it. And yes, they do work out things with it. And it's called a Bozu ball or a Bozu balance ball. And my wife and I use it periodically. And athletes use them. Physical therapists would use them when they're trying to help people improve their balance, maybe to recover from certain injuries. And there's a lot of different things you can use with them. And I thought about trying to give this whole lesson tonight standing on it. And I decided against that because until right before church, I had never stood on this in dress shoes before. You know, I usually do it in sneakers, in workout shoes. So it's not that difficult when you've been doing it for a while. The first time I did this, I lasted about 2 seconds. And then I lost my balance and I fell off. And so you have to actually, you're moving these little muscles in the side of your leg to kind of keep your balance. You know, it's kind of hard to stand perfectly still doing it. You almost got to, you know, move a little bit as you try to keep your balance. And then what you can do, the next stage of that would be to perhaps stand on one foot. I'd have to get a foot right in the middle, probably. I couldn't do it for very long. And then they have us take dumbbells. You know, not real heavy ones, maybe 15, 20, 25 pounds. You know, and do some different dumbbell exercises with them. And so that adds another layer of complexity. And you're working not the big muscles. You're working the little bitty muscles that support the other muscles that are helping you to keep your balance. I couldn't do that for 30 minutes, so it was a great illustration, and now I'm done. I'm almost out of breath now from trying to keep my balance for 30 seconds, 45 seconds in front of you guys. And so the trainer my wife and I use, I actually texted her a couple of days ago as I was putting this together, and I said, you know the Bozu ball, you have us work with that sometimes, and you've said that it helps to develop these small little support muscles that are so important in keeping your balance, especially as you age, because that's part of her thing. She says, we're going to do these things because you guys are over 50 now and you're getting old and you don't want to be old. So we're going to help you develop these little side muscles that often get neglected, in the day to day. You know, we're not as active when we're 50 as we were when we were 8 and 10. We're riding our bicycle and trying to walk on logs and keeping our balance in different ways. And then, now we don't do very much sometimes unless we're consciously doing things to build those muscles that help support us as we age and help us keep our balance. And so I said, tell me more about what that Bozu ball does. You know, I've been using it, and she gave us a little bit on it when we first started using it a couple of years ago. And so she sent me this big old long text. And at first I thought, well, I'm going to have to read that whole thing to him because I don't understand it all. But it's the gist of it is that by working these small supporting muscles, and she was saying that most people, when they are trying to stay fit, they pay a whole lot of attention to what she called the vanity muscles. You know, if you're a guy, you're doing bench presses. How many pounds can you bench press, or how many pounds can you military press? Things that work on the vanity muscles, so somebody can tell that we're working out. And she says, if that's where all the focus is, and they're not also working these little side support muscles, the ones that you don't see. They're kind of behind the tendons and this and that, but they're so very, very helpful and supportive in supporting our whole body. Then it can be that you might look pretty good. You might look like you got it going on, but you're going to be very susceptible to injuries, and you're still going to be susceptible to losing your balance and falling. And as you age, these things become more of a problem if we're not consciously aware of these and doing something about it. And so we become unbalanced without even realizing it. And we don't want to do that. And if it is as important as it is to keep our balance physically, how much more is it important to keep our balance in living for the Lord? And so the four areas that I want to hit on, and we're not going to keep you a real long time tonight, but we're going to talk about the four areas that contribute to a well-balanced life. One of them, of course, is spiritual. And we come to church to work on our spiritual life. And that's sometimes we make some judgments. The Bible says we're not supposed to judge one another, but we're human, right? So we do that sometimes. We may judge someone's overall walk with God by how they act just in church. You know, and being a Christian is a whole lot more than the 3 hours that we might spend in church in a given week, three or 4 hours. So spiritual health, and what we're going to see is that each of these, it's almost like four legs on a stool. You know, if one of them is shorter than the other one, if one of them's out of balance, then the whole stool isn't going to be fully supportive that it could be. So spiritual health, family life, family relationships, physical health, and then our work life. So four areas that we want to keep in balance. And if we're balanced, if we're well balanced, then we're going to be much more successful in living for the Lord. Because when we're out of balance, there's things that happen to us in life. There's things that we end up going through that it's not God's will that we would go through. But it's just we're a little out of kilter. We're not well balanced. And it doesn't mean that we intentionally got that way. We may not have even realized it. And so let's talk about that. Spiritual health, one that we probably most often address in church, address when you and I come together as the body of Christ, and rightly so. We've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. We've got to be Spirit-filled, and we know that Spirit-filled is not a one-time experience. It's something that we've got to live with the Spirit. We've got to allow God's Spirit to dwell in us and to be activated in us and to lead us and guide us and direct us on a daily basis. We know that prayer and fasting promote spiritual health. And so we're doing some special fasting, this week as the church body. And so we are building our individual spiritual health. And as we work on that as individuals, then of course the body benefits because you and I are the church. The church is not a building. The church is you and I, together. Church attendance is part of building spiritual health. The Bible says that it's through the teaching and preaching of the Word that God is able to speak into our lives. There may be a few of you. Brother Usley has heard the audible voice of God. He's confident that spoke to him one time. That doesn't happen to everybody. Most often God speaks to us through the preaching and teaching of the Word. He also speaks to us in prayer. He can speak to you through the reading of the Word. And so it's important, you know, all of those avenues, but certainly church attendance is a big part of our spiritual health. And it's through the teaching of the Word, through the preaching of the Word, that God stirs us, that His Spirit will lead us and maybe convict us and make us feel bad about what we're doing and maybe motivate us to do better on the next day. And so preaching and teaching, attending church is important because God works through that to prod us to action. So spiritual health. Sometimes it can be that we put a whole lot of focus on that to the exclusion of some of the other areas of our life. So family life being a second stool, if you will, a second leg of that stool. You know, dysfunctional families are not a modern invention. There's a lot of dysfunctional families that are talked about in the Bible. Sometimes it may seem like there is a huge increase of dysfunction in our families in the last 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, but it's been going on forever. And so your family is not special in that regard. Some of us just don't talk about it as much as other people. So we all have different levels of dysfunction, in our families. That is sometimes more the norm than not. And so it's not, somebody said, what happens to us. It's what we do, in the face of life, in the face of the day-to-day things that happen to us. And what you see on Sunday or what you see on Facebook, that's a great example there because, you know, when you social media, we get these little glimpses, these little pictures of the, because you only post the good pictures, right? And so you see this perfect little family, you see this perfect little idyllic vacation, and then, you know, you see when they get a new dress or a new car, and it paints a picture that everybody else's life is perfect except yours. Everybody else has a perfect family but yours, and that is certainly not the case. So that's a good reason in and of itself just to have a social media fast sometime and say, you know what, I'm not going to look at Facebook for an entire week. See if you can do that. I've done it before. It's been a long time. That would be a great exercise sometime just to prove to yourself that you're not dependent upon it, and you might see that you're in a much better frame of mind yourself without seeing just the highlights of other people's life. In Scripture, we find that God's relationship with mankind is based on the family. And so families are very, very important to the Lord, and we want to make sure that dysfunction is not the norm necessarily in our family, that we are doing everything that we can do as parents, as fathers, as mothers, as children. We're all children. That means we all have parents. We all have siblings. And if there is something out of kilter in our family, whatever you think of when I say family, because we have different, our families don't look just alike because it's a very different world these days. But whatever that means to you when I say family, think about that. If there is some part of our family relationship that is not right, and it's something that we could fix or something that we could affect, God help us to be a good enough Christian to make the first step sometime, to make the first phone call, to be the first to apologize, to be the first to forgive when they don't ask to be forgiven, when they don't think they did anything wrong. And so sometimes it has to start with us. And so when we talk about family relationships, sometimes that really means I just got to fix me. I got to deal with me. I got to get spiritual enough so that I can be Christian enough to be a good witness, to be a good testimony. Amen? So family relationships, so very, very important. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says this. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise." So he's just not parodying, but quoting from the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother. The first commandment with promise. The first commandment that we find in the Bible, that if we do that, there are promises attached to that. Verse 3 says, the promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. "And you, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." So if you are a child, and I'm not talking to just those under 18, because we all have parents, so maybe it would be better be said, if you have parents, honor your parents. Be kind to them. Be long-suffering. Sometimes we have to be long-suffering. Even when our parents we're of age, and they're of age, of course. Be considerate of them. Be understanding of them. We don't have to always be right. My wife reminds me of that. You don't always have to be right. We don't always have to win, you know, the argument. And we're talking about family relationships, promoting harmony in our family relationships. The scripture says, parents, provoke not your children. Bring them up in church. Teach them right from wrong. Don't be one thing at church and another thing at home. You know, that gives them reason to speak against the church. Well, everybody's a hypocrite there. You don't act at home like you do it. You act all holy at church, and then you come home and, yeah. Sometimes our family is the one that knows us best, right? Because they see us in our good moments and our bad moments. And that's the two easiest occasions to be wrong, when things are going really good and when things are going bad. So family relationships, be a Christian at home too, so that even if they're not living for the Lord, your witness is still a positive one. Your witness is still a Christian witness. And so we're talking about spiritual health. We're talking about healthy family relationships. And then the third one being physical health. I read an article just this morning. I don't know if it qualifies as an article. It was a paragraph, a headline. It said that 90% of data created, 90% of the data available was created within the last 2 years. That's an amazing statistic. And what that spoke to me was, you and I don't have much excuse for not knowing how to do right. Whether we're talking about family life, whether we're talking about spiritual life, whether we're talking about physical health, because data is so abundant. You know, if you've got a phone that's even four generations old, maybe it's not this year's edition, maybe it's 5 years ago or 8 years ago, I don't know how long smartphones have been around, it's really easy to find the answer to just stuff. You know, it's really easy to find. I read an article last week, and it was about the importance of sleep. I mentioned it to a couple of you last Sunday, and it was kind of, I had never seen it put this way, but they did these research, and some of them probably funded by the taxes you and I pay. They probably spent tens of millions of dollars to figure out that if you don't sleep enough, you have a greater chance of having some form of dementia later in life. If you chronically don't get enough sleep, then you have a greater chance of having some mental faculties diminished, not having full use of your mental faculties as you age. That makes me want to make sure I get enough sleep, you know? And so, of course, everybody has a different definition of that, but they were saying, you know, for years they've always said we should get 6-7 hours of sleep. And I said, well, no, most people should probably get 8 or 9. And I don't get that all the time, but I usually get more than 7. Some people get by on 4 or 5, and I've never been able to do that. But that made me feel not guilty about getting my 8 or 9 hours of sleep. And so it was a good thing when you find out, hey, I've got a reason now to relax a little bit more, to get enough sleep, to get enough rest, to get enough relaxation. How many of you know that other people that you know, if they don't get enough sleep, they're really grouchy? May not be you, but it might be your spouse. You know, it might be somebody else, might be your roommate, might be somebody else that you know of. There are risks in weariness. When we are tired, we are more carnal. We are more susceptible to temptation when we are physically tired. So it's not just that we're grouchy. It's not just that we're more inclined to not eat healthy. Because when you're tired, who wants to make the time to make something healthy? You just eat whatever, right? And so all of these things working together and being well balanced in our life. We're more grouchy. We're more easily offended when we're tired. We're more critical when we're tired, you know, when we're weary. It's just easy. And so we have to know that. We have to understand that. And then we have to be on guard against that. And we need to get better at recognizing that in ourselves and saying, you know what, I need some sleep. Because I'm not going to be very spiritual if I don't get some rest. Maybe I need a vacation. You say, well, I can't afford a vacation. Well, we can do something. You know, you got to figure out what can you do to change your life for half a day, for a day, for a weekend, to take a deep breath and relax, or you're not going to be as good a spouse as you should be. You're not going to be as good an employee as you should be. You're not going to be as good a Christian. You're not going to be as spiritual as you think you are when we're tired. And certainly when we're sick as well. So there's risks in weariness. So you should, maybe the end of that is you should not feel guilty about taking time off. Some personality types, and we've talked about personality types in the Stronger Families seminars. And some people, some of us have more of a problem with that than others. If we're not busy doing stuff, if we're not busy being productive, whatever that means, you know, to our definition, then we feel guilty, you know. We feel like, man, I better not let everybody know that I sat around and did nothing for 2 hours. No, we need time to sit around and do nothing. And so it might be that you need to plan that. You need to calendar that. You need to let those close to you know, hey, this is my time to do nothing. And if a loved one tells you that, then we need to be understanding enough to say, yes, you need some rest. You need some relaxation. Let me help you do that. Let me take care of the kids. Let me clean the house. Is my wife still here? Is she listening? Okay. I better shut up. She's going to be reminding me of all this stuff. You said. No, she's great. She makes sure. She's probably the reason that I relax as much as I do, because I used to be much worse about that. I never had hobbies. I never took time off. I never did anything. In the last couple of years, those of you that may have just known me the last couple of years, you may think that I've always done all the things I do now, and that is not the case. And she's the reason that I have as much latitude to do things on Saturday that I probably didn't do for the first 20 years that we were married, to take a motorcycle ride, to go throw frisbees at the park, you know, things that just seem like a monumental waste of time if you're working two jobs and going to school full time and doing this and doing that and raising kids. And so certainly there's different stages in our life when we have more or less time. But whatever stage we find ourselves in, for your mental health, for the betterment of your family, for the betterment of your Christian witness, we need to make sure that we're taking time to relax, to rest, to spend time with our families. Because all of these things are so important. And if we're leaving out, if we're neglecting one part, then we're unbalanced. And it does affect the rest of our life. And we may not see it, and we may not recognize it as such. But hopefully from now on, you will. And so fitness. None of you guys are amening when we're saying we should get more rest and more relaxation. But fitness is certainly a part of that. And you know what? That takes work, and that takes discipline. But the Bible says that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, Paul also said exercise is profiteth little. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but it does profit. And it's part of a well-balanced life. And so it's something that we should consider. It takes discipline. But if we pray for healing, but we're not eating right, and we're not taking care of our body, and we're not doing what we can of our own ability, I believe we're frustrating the grace of God. To ignore the brain that he gave us, And the knowledge that is so readily available in the day that you and I live, we have a responsibility. You know, when we have been made aware, then we're responsible for that. And so, physical health, fitness, if we pray for healing, we should be doing everything that we can to bring that healing about. And there's a lot of things that we can do, naturally to help us in that regard. The fourth leg of a well-balanced life is our work life. And work is a big part of what we do. Some of you work in the home, some of you work out of the home, but we spend a lot of our life, decades, of our life. And even if you are retired, you still work. You don't sleep and sit in the rocking chair on the front porch all day long. There's still things that you get done and that you're responsible, for supporting yourself, supporting your family. In Bible times, it was, if you don't work, you don't eat. And so there's always been this responsibility and this part of our life that affects every other part of our life. If you're not taking care of your family financially to the best of your ability, it's a sin. We could spend a lot of time in Scripture bearing that out. So again, to the best of your ability, be Christ-like. One Scripture says, whatsoever you do, do it as unto the Lord. So regardless of what our job is, we should be doing it as unto the Lord. You don't have to like your boss. We should be a good employee in whatever our capacity as an employee is. You know, if we're a salesman, we should be doing it as unto the Lord. If we're administrative, we should be doing it as unto the Lord. And we should be a witness in the way that we do our job. We should be there on time. We should be doing more than what's expected. That's part of our witness. We're a child of the King. If we really believe that God gave us that job and God is providing for us, then we should be doing it like we're working for Him, right? And if we remind ourselves of that, it will help us put up with the garbage that you got to put up with sometime in a job, because there's no perfect jobs, there's no perfect situations. But if we're doing it as unto the Lord, then we can let a lot of that stuff just roll off our back. Hey, God gave me this job. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. I'm not going to let the, you know, don't major on the minor stuff. Don't let stuff get to you. You're working for God. Amen. And the Scripture says that when we do that, it is right to enjoy the fruit of your labor. And so the Bible has much to say about working hard, about being diligent, about being providing for your family. But it also talks about you then get to enjoy the fruit of your labor. So it's okay to do that. We shouldn't feel guilty about doing that. And so perhaps you're thinking, what does family problems, work life, health and fitness have to do with living for the Lord? And I submit to you that it has everything to do with living for the Lord. Because we can focus on any one of those four legs of a well-balanced life, on one, maybe two of them, to the detriment of the other two. We could even have three of them nailed down. But if we have a fourth one that is not the same length as the other three, then we're living a life that is unbalanced. And it's going to create issues, it's going to create problems, it's going to create trials and tribulations, can we call them? There's going to be things in life that you have to go through that it was not God's will that you had to go through. And so it pays us to learn of these things, to grow in wisdom and knowledge and stature with the Lord, so that we can be more like Him. Amen. How many of you want less drama in your life? Less problems, less trials. And so we want to be well balanced in living for the Lord. So each area is connected to the other three. You can be so spiritual that you are no earthly good. Yeah. You could be so spiritual that you spend 12 hours a day down here at the church praying. You know, on one hand, that'd be a great thing. You think about that. Man, you're going to be a prayer warrior. But if you got to neglect your family to do that, if you get fired because you always call in sick so you can spend all day praying at the church or whatever, you're unbalanced. That's not the will of God. It's not the will of God. What's another example of that? If you can't hold down a job because you pray 12 hours a day, if you don't take time to take care of yourself health-wise, yet your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. The other part of that would be you could spend so much time at the gym that you don't have time to spend with your family, that you don't have time to come to prayer, that you don't make every service because you're choosing to work overtime even when you don't need to. Work life, family life, health-wise, spiritual, balance is so, so important. There's a lot of, I've at 51, almost 52 years old, and that doesn't, in some ways it sounds very old, but in other ways it doesn't really. But having been in church all that time, I've seen a lot of people that have come in and have done so well in one area of their life. I've seen people that are so smart that I wouldn't want to take an IQ test with them because I think they would just be so way, way smarter than me. And they're just really, really, really smart. But this other area of their life handicaps them so much. They're never able to use their natural smarts to any good benefit because they're not well balanced. I've seen other people that they just put me to shame from a prayer perspective. They just seem to be so faithful, so consecrated in their prayer life and so, man, just strong for the Lord and living for God and almost convicting me because I was living for the Lord before they ever came to know Him. And then they get in the church and they're in there, you know, with everything. And man, they're just tearing it up. But if they don't develop the other parts of their life, they kind of burn out, you know, like a flame. They burn really, really bright for 6 months, 2 years, 5 years, 8 years. And then, oh yeah, remember brother so-and-so? Remember, yeah, where are they at? You seen them? What happened to them? And so it's about balance. It's about balance. And so we have to see, and that's what I'm hoping that you're doing right now. And as we get ready to come to the altar and pray for a few minutes, you're thinking about where is there an area, and maybe there's not, but is there an area in my life that perhaps, you know, I've neglected a little bit. Maybe it's my family. You know, I've been so focused on work and so focused on being active in the church that I've neglected my kids or I've neglected my spouse and I haven't. Let's ask the Lord those questions when we come to the altar tonight. And maybe on the way home, let's ask our spouse or our loved one. Because you know what? We don't always see us just like we are. You know, it's very easy for Brother Drosik to overlook his faults. It's very easy for us to see, because we've been living with us for how many years, right? How old are you? And you've been with you all that time. And we get pretty used to ourselves. And so it might be that you need someone close to you, a loved one, that you trust to not be offensive and hurtful, but to be honest with you and say, is there an area in my life that I need to work on that I could be, you know, a little, am I unbalanced without realizing it in a certain area, whether it's physical health or spiritually or family life or work life or any of these things? What do you need to be more balanced? What do you need to work on? Is it the spiritual? For the last couple of years, and this didn't originate with me, it was actually a colleague that lives across the United States, and I see him a couple of times a year, and he posted it on his social media, and I stole it. That sounds bad, huh? So I better tell you what it is before I tell you I stole things. It's literally just it's a piece of paper divided into four quadrants with these four, and he's not even. He considers himself a Christian, but he's not a believer in the sense that you and I are. Christianity is not a big part of his life. He doesn't know truth, as you and I are fortunate to know. But he's used this for I don't know how many years. And so the last couple of years, I've used it myself in the end of the year. And I like to look back on the year, what went well, and look forward and try to figure out what I need to do, what I can do to be a better person in the following year, divided by these four quadrants. You know, spiritually, health-wise, work-wise, and family-wise. And I didn't, when I started putting this together, and I really do believe God gave me this thought a few weeks ago about balance. And it was only after putting all the other stuff together that I remembered, oh, that's kind of what we do with this quadrant thing, this goals and what do we call them? New Year's resolutions sometime. But it's been a very useful exercise. Just to write it down. What can I do this year to work on my, what can I do to help my spiritual health this year. And so some years it's been, I'm going to read the Bible through this year. And I don't read it through every year, but I've done it multiple years. And so that's a commitment. How many of you have done that before? You've read the Bible through in 1 year. Many of you have. And you know that, man, it's easy to get behind, right? You start out the first 3 weeks of January, you're reading every day and you're on schedule. And by the end of March, you're through with February's and you're a month behind. And sometimes by July or August, you're 2 or 3 months behind. And so between Thanksgiving and Christmas, you gotta read. You gotta read to catch up. So some years that's been a goal. You know, I'm going to read the Bible through this year, and I'm going to read it through in a different version, maybe the Amplified version, because it gives us a little more context and a little more detail. Maybe it's the New King James Version that uses a little more modern language, or maybe it's you know what, this year I'm going to be more consistent in my prayer life. And so it would be some specific goals. Maybe it would be a commitment that I'm not going to leave the house unless I've spent at least 10 minutes, you know, in my prayer chair in the front room where I'm not disturbed and by myself and getting my head straight and getting ready to go out, on the day. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's church attendance or who knows what it is. And then on the physical fitness side, well, I want to be better. I don't want to eat as much junk food. Maybe I'm going to eat better and I'm going to exercise more. And there's some specific goals that we might list in there. And you know what? Sometimes I fail miserably on that stuff. Yeah. You know, if you ever made a goal, and if you were honest, there are a lot of times we don't meet the goal. But you know what? Every time that I've done that, even if you do it for 3 months, that's probably 3 months more than you would have done if you hadn't set the goal. And so, living for the Lord is the journey. It's about making mistakes. It's about falling down. It's about picking yourself back up and trying again. It's not to say, well, you know what? I fell. I stumbled. I'm not gonna make that commitment again. I just fell every time. No, you get back up and you repledge and you recommit and you call your buddy and say, hey, you got to help me, Brother Ronnie. You know, I said I was going to go to the church 3 times a week to pray, and I did that for the first 2 weeks, and I haven't done it for a month now. Will you go with me? You know, maybe it's an accountability partner in whatever area of life that we're trying to kind of bring into balance. What do you think about that? Is it worth pursuing to try to be a little more balanced in our life? If you would stand and the musicians would come. I took longer than I thought I would already. But that's what I encourage you to think about and pray about when you find a place to pray before we go home, is what do you need to work on? And if you can't think of anything, then again, ask somebody that loves you, and they'll probably help you see yourself in a more honest light. Balance is essential. We don't want to be overbalanced in one area, and we don't want to be unbalanced in other areas, because every area, and if nothing else, let that be a takeaway tonight. Those other three areas, as unspiritual as they may sound, eating right and exercising doesn't sound very spiritual, it affects your spirituality. Getting enough rest affects your spirituality. Because you know it. When you come to church tired, it's hard to be spiritual. It's hard to, you know, worship the Lord when you're just physically exhausted. And sometimes we can't help that. But you need to be able to recognize that's my problem tonight. I'm just really tired. It's not that you're backslid. You know, it's not, you just feel out of sorts. I feel out of sorts when I'm tired. I'm grouchy. I'm grumpy. You know, I want to eat something and go to sleep. And so it's good to recognize that in ourselves so that the devil doesn't seize on that and try to make you think that you're backslid when you just need a good night's rest. You know, you need a couple of days away with your honey. You know, you just need to get rested and get relaxed and eat some good food and take a deep breath. So all of these things are all tied in together. We want to be well balanced. Amen. Let's find a place to pray tonight. Ask the Lord what we can do, what we need to do to be more balanced. Thank you.